As you know, I've been pretty inspired by Oprah's book, and that's actually, we're going to continue this energetic all summer with our sacred circles that are kicking off this week. So I'm going to, one of the ideas is to have everyone, as many people as possible, signed up for a circle. There's circles with different days and times, different places. And I encourage you to check out the table after service and see if there's one that you can fit in. There's some on Saturday and Sunday, and there's one Tuesday night here, and all these opportunities for you to continue to do this work. Because what we've been talking about this month, which is the main focus and intention of Oprah's book, is for us to be empowered and to know who we are. Now, obviously, that's the spiritual path, right, that we always talk about. But there's something about this month's theme, which is the courage to find your way. The courage to be who you truly are. To stand into your power and speak your truth in a way that allows you to let go of all those false ideas that we hold about ourselves, all of those negative things that we think are wrong with us, to let go of some of that old baggage that we've been dragging around for however many years, you want to admit to it. You know, so the whole idea is for us to really allow life to support us in bringing forth who we are and who we're supposed to be. Because let me tell you, the important part of that is that we are important and that you are important, and your life is important to the grand scheme of things. So today I'm talking about the fact that your life is the gift. That your life is the gift that you have come to give. Now there's so many of us that live in different ways, right? There's some that have tremendous resources and lots of things, and there's some of us who don't. But it doesn't matter how much you have, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter how old you are or how many experiences you've had. It doesn't matter. You've got something to give, to share with this life. Every day. You have something to contribute. And it's important that we remember that. Because you are integral to the experience of life itself. And so that's what we're talking about today. The fact that your life is the gift. Psychologists have found, you know, that after study, psychologists have found that when people are engaged in meaningful, purposeful work, whether it's your career or whether it's something that you do in your life, that they're happier, they're more balanced, that they're healthier, and being engaged in life in a purposeful, meaningful, creative way is a way to have more fulfillment and more peace. Because what happens is that you get out of your own way and you start to realize that you have a place in this world and that you have something to share and something to give. And it's about allowing that creative process that I was talking about earlier that we learned about in best class, that when we engage in the creative process, we become a channel. We become a channel of light and of inspiration and of joy, not only for ourselves, but for everyone around us. And that's so important in these times when, I don't know about you, but this week was pretty loud out in the world, wasn't it? And it's starting already. Can you believe this? This is, you know, it's starting in earnest already. And I'm a little bit tired of it already. We only had 2 nights of debates, right? Like, I'm tired of it already, you know? And so as you can tell, the din is going to start to get louder out in the world again. And it's important for us to be so centered in knowing who we are and knowing life and knowing God, that no matter how loud things get, we get to be a force for good. We have come to be a force for good. And if you have found your way into this room on this day, somewhere inside of you, you know that. You know that there is something important to connect with, something important to create for yourself, or something important to create in this life. And what it comes down to be is that you have come to be a force for good. And so I'm thinking about this week. I'm in my red, white, blue. Yes? As we go into our July 4th holiday, and this is one of those weeks where it's kind of in the middle, right? So I couldn't figure out to do the July 4th talk this week or next week. I'm not sure. So I split it. So we're doing half and half is what I'm doing. But what happens to me every 4th of July as we kind of head towards it is that not only do I look for my red, white, and blue, but I also go back and read those powerful, wonderful documents that our country is founded on. I read the Declaration of Independence, I read the Constitution, not the whole thing, but I go back and revisit it just to remind myself and to get into that energetic of what our founding fathers were bringing forth. And so again, from the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I can't get enough of that. I think we need posters of that, right? To remind ourselves what this country was founded on. And even from the preamble of the Constitution, this is the one I don't have memorized, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity. Liberty. This week we're celebrating the fact that we have liberty, that we have freedom, that we have choice. And the thing I love about these documents, what they the intention was that they're not solid and stagnant, right? We're not operating under something that's in concrete. We are becoming. We are still a young country. We are becoming. We have the potential and the possibility of evolving, of becoming better and better. That's in alignment with our spiritual understanding. Because each and every one of us is whole, perfect, and complete as we are in this moment. But we are ever becoming. We are ever evolving. We are ever bringing more of ourselves, of the divine that's alive within us, into experience for ourselves and for the world. But it takes leaning in. It takes stepping up. It takes choosing to use our lives as a catalyst for that, for ourselves and for everyone else. So those moments when you get down on yourself, I know you've got them, I got them too. Those moments where you think you say the wrong thing, or you've done the wrong thing, or you made mistakes back in your life that have led you to this moment, and now you're stuck in a puddle of whatever. Right? Oh, I almost went there. It almost came out of my mouth. I did it, thank goodness. That's what happens when I take a week off. When you think you're stuck, you're not. You're not ever stuck in any one place. We are ever becoming. We are ever evolving. And the blessing of this country is that we have the freedom to do that, right? We are blessed to still be in a country that, okay, it's not perfect, all right? It never has been. But it's becoming more perfect as each and every one of us lean in, step up, use our voice, speak the truth, and participate in this evolution. So the idea that you are called to do work on your life, the idea that you are called to know God as yourself deeply, supports us in evolving to a more expressive place, to a more creative process. And it's not really about getting, it's not really about, hey, look at me, I'm all that in a bag of chips. It's not about that. It's about what you have come to give to life, what you have come to share with the world. God is very purposeful in his creation. If you studied any science, if you studied any nature, if you've seen anything from that most minute experience to the cosmos, anywhere in between, if you have looked at anything, you know that God is purposeful in its creation. And I always make the joke, even with the platypus, right? I still haven't figured out what the purpose of the platypus is, other than for me to use it in my sermons every once in a while, but it's still purposeful too. Everything in God's creation is purposeful, and what that means is that you are too. That you have purpose and you have meaning, and you have been called to this life for an important reason, to share your gift with the world. Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, says this. Freely, oh, it's a long one, so we're doing it step by step. Sorry about that. Freely ye have received, and freely give. When the law of circulation is retarded, stagnation results. It is only as we allow the divine current to flow through us, on and out, that we really express life. When a man's thought rests entirely upon himself, he becomes abnormal and unhappy. But when he gives himself with enthusiasm to any legitimate purpose, losing himself in the thing which he is doing, he becomes normal and happy. Let the one who is sad, depressed, or unhappy find some altruistic purpose into which he may pour his whole being, and he will find a new inflow of life of which he has never dreamed. When we're stuck, when we feel down, when we feel like we're in that puddle, what we are called to do is give something to life, to do something purposeful, to connect with that which is calling to you from your heart. Everybody has something different that inspires them. Everyone has something different that touches them, that lights them up. And what we are called to do is to engage in that way with life, to bring some understanding, to bring some appreciation, to listen to someone else. And so these are those moments, right? These are those moments not only in the big things that we want to do and the things that we want to, the problems we want to solve in the world and in our culture. That's great, and yes, those are important, but this is on the most minute level of how do you want to be in your daily life. When you go through the checkout counter at the grocery store, when you talk to someone in line at Starbucks, when you are standing on a train or in an elevator with someone, what do we do? Do you pull yourself in and hold back and say, don't talk to me, I'm not, you know? Or are you engaged with life in a way where even a smile can change someone's day by you being a force for good? You get to be a force for good. I love what Oprah said. She said that my life's goal is to be of service to a greater good. Wherever that true calling takes me, I've always been willing to go. We are all being called to create a life that's a gift to the world. Life is God's gift to man. What we do with it is our gift to God. Right? It's our gift to God. It's our gift of gratitude for actually having this life. It reminded me, what's been going through my head this week is when my daughter was young and we used to play Play-Doh with all of her friends. Like I would bring them over and we would play on the back deck because I wouldn't let them do it in my house. Right? Play-Doh, many colors, carpet, doesn't go real well. So but what happens is they would pass out the different colors of Play-Doh. And there's some kids, you know, when they were preschoolers or kindergartners who would just clump some stuff and squish it together because it feels so good and like make a little pole and set it there, right, you know? And then there's that one kid on the end who would like take the different colors and make little color balls and make the little eyes and do a little, you know, whatever, and make a masterpiece. And there's everything in between. And that image has been working with me this week just because we each, our lives are clumps of Play-Doh. And we get to do what we want with them. We can clump them around and just let them be big balls or flatten them out or whatever you want to do. Or you can take some time, engage in your creative essence, and begin to make a masterpiece. To begin to make something of what you've got in front of you. We have all that we need right where we are. But it's by seeing things differently and looking with new eyes, with the understanding that we can create differently. We've gotten ourselves to the place where we are. Well, where's that next wave of life going to take you? What is this next wave going to bring forth for you? And it doesn't matter how much you've been through. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. Right where you are right now, you get to create a glorious experience of this life. Each and every day we have another opportunity. I keep thinking of the sun rising and the sun setting. Did you see those pictures of the sunset last night? Or did you see the sunset? I missed it, but oh my goodness, thank God for Facebook. I got to see the magnificence. And that was all over Southern California. That was from the border all the way through San Diego, up here, everywhere. Amazing. That glorious day. And it reminded me of the glorious experience of life that we get to create. You can create that feeling of magnificence every day. And that's through being who you have been called to be. Psychiatrist and author David Viscott claimed that the purpose of life is to discover your gift. The meaning of life is to give it away. Your purpose and your meaning are linked to how conscious you are of what is truly magnificent about you. Many people wait, and the way that Oprah deals with this in the book, and what I've been thinking about a lot too, is this concept of legacy. So often we wait until we're a certain age to think about what our legacy is going to be, right? And I don't know if it's because of, after this birthday last month, I got to admit I'm sliding into 50. I'm not quite there yet. I've got a couple years to slide into 50, but it's been up for me. Maybe it's because of the health challenge I had over the last couple years, but legacy is something that's kind of in my face all of a sudden. And when I read this book and when she's talking about, it's not really about the ego idea of what your legacy is. It's about integrating who you know yourself to be in the way you're living your life. When we look at what our legacy is, your legacy is everybody who in the world has been touched by you, by anything. Your legacy is how you operate on a day-to-day basis and what you give unto the world. And again, with my high intention of each of us being a force for good, a channel of light and of peace and of healing and wholeness and love, that's a pretty good legacy, I think. As a center, as each individual, we have a gift. We have an opportunity every day to be that gift, to give the gift of your legacy to your kids, obviously, but to every single person that you meet, and be that channel of expression. Life can be measured in exchanges of energy. And think about that for a second. Think about the people that you're around that just make you feel better, right? And on the other hand, think about the people that you're around and you could just be in the same room with and you don't feel that great, right? Obviously, there's nobody here. But just, right? Give me a nod. Are you with me on that? Yeah. So there are some people that just you want to just sit with, right? And there's some people who you're like, yeah, I don't need to go to that party. I can stay home. It'll be better, you know? And so when I went looking for this, I was not surprised to find that research shows that even our moods emit a force that is picked up by others, whether or not we speak or interact with them in any way. There's a doctor from the University of Hawaii named Elaine Hatfield, and she conducted some of these studies. And in one of them, a student who reported feeling significant anger was placed into a room facing away from another student who reported feeling sufficient joy, significant joy. They didn't speak, they didn't look at each other, they didn't even know who was in the room. They were faced away from each other. And after a matter of minutes, the angry student reported feeling happier. And the joyful student reported feeling a slight sense of anger. And the researchers repeated this over and over and over again and got the same result. It seems that our attitudes, our thoughts, and our actions affect everyone and everything in the environment through an invisible force. And so that's why giving at any level feels good, right? That's why being in your fullest joyful expression and giving away yourself or participating or doing service, it feels so good. And it allows you to let go of some of that stuff that we hold on. Like Ernest said, when you're focused on yourself and you're focused on your problems and you're focused on everything that's wrong and all you can see is there's no way out, then you just go down that downward spiral. But when you give yourself away, when you do something for someone else, when you connect to that creative flow, it opens, it lets go of all of those walls and it opens your heart to a place where you're uplifted and you're inspired. Again, a force for good. I was going to tell you the story about how finally, after a year, I think, I finally watched the Mr. Rogers documentary. I was going to talk about how, if you have not seen it, it's amazing. It, inspired me. I know that there's been people who've spoken about it over the last year, but if you haven't seen it, and the reason why I was going to tell you the story is because he was really formative in my young life. I came up through that period of time, and I was inspired how his ministry was so clear that it was ministry that he was doing, and that he tackled really difficult topics from Bobby Kennedy's assassination to the Vietnam War to all of those things that were happening in the late 60s and the early 70s, and he spoke it to children in a way that allowed us to feel safe. I was going to tell you that story, I guess I did. But I woke up this morning and was moved when I checked my my news feed about the story of Richard Alvarez, Luis Alvarez. Now, Luis Alvarez came into my attention a couple weeks back because he was up, he was over in D.C. with John Stewart when they were talking to Congress about the 9/11 Support Act that they were trying to renew. Now, what I didn't know was that Luis Alvarez came back from that trip and went into hospice. He died yesterday. He was 53 years old. He was an NYPD detective who got cancer 4 years ago that was directly linked to the work that he did after 9/11 at the site looking for remains and looking for survivors and then remains. And he got sick a couple of years ago, but he has been one of the loudest proponents of support for 9/11 responders over the years. And he made his life about supporting other people, not only himself, and for what he did, because he was a hero. And he gave his life for that. But not only that, he wanted to make sure that those who were here after he was gone would be cared for. And 2 weeks before he passed, he was in D.C. lobbying our Congress to continue this support for those who gave so much and ultimately have given their lives for them. His life was the blessing. His life was the force for good. And I'm so grateful to know that he has stepped out of this pain and this difficulty and into that next evolution of his soul. But again, how can we use what we know, what we're passionate about, and what we know is important, and use our voice to be that force for good? Mr. Rogers did it in a powerful way, for children of a whole generation were touched by him. Luis Alvarez did it for all of these amazing servants who gave of themselves. But we don't need to do it in huge ways. We don't need to move mountains. We just need to use our voice. We need to allow our legacy to be true to who we are. And so we are called. We are called to be who we've come here to be and to let go of anything that's holding us back from that. I love the old saying that says people may not remember what you did or what you said, but they're going to remember how you made them feel. So this is the deal. You are on a hero's journey. Like the reading that Mary did today, you are on your own yellow brick road. And those disassociated, those parts of yourself that you think are broken, that need help, that need the wizard to give you what you think you need to make you whole, is not true. Those are the things that we hold so heavy against ourselves are the things that will inspire us to give our gifts. Those are the things that make you unique, that support you in living the life you've come here to live. So we have to let go of what everybody else thinks we're supposed to do. We have to let go of who we think we're supposed to be. And we have to let go of all those things that we think are wrong with us, because they're God-ordained. They're God-given. You were created by that divine creator, just as you were meant to be. And so what we do is we stand where we are with all of it, hold it, stretching as wide as we can to hold it all and allow it to be, and allow the inspiration of the divine to guide us to step forward in the way we're called to step. So when you're online at Starbucks and you have the sense that someone's having a rough day, smile at them. Say good morning. We are a community. And as we connect to each other, as we move through our lives and allow the light that's within us to shine forward, you're going to change someone's day without them even realizing it. They could be facing away from you, and because your joy is so full, they'll feel better. We can't feel guilty about having the goodness and the wonderful experiences of life because it's catching. You know how the flu catches? This is even better. Because if you are filled with joy, if you are know that you are whole, if you give your gifts to the world, you are giving permission to everybody around you to live in the same way. That's your legacy. That's your purpose. I have Debbie Ford, who was one of my inspirations. I feel like she's a spiritual teacher to me. She passed a couple years ago, and this is what she said. We are all created with this phenomenal force inside of us, and everything that comes our way is coming our way so that we can grow and evolve. And if we look at it like that, if we're willing to open our hearts and to see where we're shut down, where we're trying to resist life, then we have a great opportunity to step into who we always wanted to be. As Mary reminded us in the reading, no matter how far you think you've strayed from yourself, deep in your heart you know who you are. Deep in your heart you know the gift you have to give to the world. It's time to start listening to it. Allow it to come forward and to express it in this life. That's why we're here. That's what we're here to do. And this whole summer is geared towards allowing your light to shine brightly. And I know that it's blinding and will all need shades. And so does it.